You're listening to Make It Possible Ukraine Volunteer Heroes Stories, the podcast about volunteers who have made a difference in Ukraine. Together, we can make it possible for people in Ukraine. Welcome to today's episode of our Volunteer Heroes Stories. I'm excited to introduce Jared, a remarkable volunteer from Tampa Bay, Florida. Jared has dedicated significant time and effort to helping others, both locally and internationally. Jared's volunteer journey took him to the Philippines, where he spent a month working with the street children. His dedication didn't stop there. He was fortunate to visit them again next year and continue helping them out. More recently, Jared has been actively involved in Ukraine. He was helping to deliver pizza to internally displaced people and schools around the country. And also, he was member of a Ukrainian lacrosse team, showcasing his commitment to the community in different ways. We're thrilled to have Jared here to share his inspiring stories and experiences. Welcome, Jared.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Got back from Rivne 2 days ago, so good to be back in Lviv, and little bit nicer city than Rivne, but I'm excited to be back and continuing to volunteer.
Jared is helping out in different places in Ukraine, and now currently we're located in Lviv. It's mid-July. It's been 2.5 years of war in Ukraine, unfortunately, but we're so, so lucky and fortunate to have people like Jared coming to Ukraine and helping so many different organizations. So I wanted to ask you, how did you end up in Ukraine? How did you start volunteering in general? Tell us more about your volunteering journey.
I have a really personal close connection to Ukraine. My grandfather was originally from Kharkiv, Ukraine.
Wow.
And during World War II, like many, many families, he was forced from his home and was in work camp in Poland.
No way.
Yes. And then he ended up in Germany towards the end of the war, because my great-grandfather had managerial skills, so they thought his effort would be more used in trying to, make weapons for the German army, not that they really had any choice. And post-World War II, he had opportunity to come to the U.S. with nothing, and my great-grandfather. And, now 70 years later, I'm first member of my family to be back since they left in 1943.
That's incredible. What an incredible story.
Yeah. A lot of people, like him being from Kharkiv, oh, it's close to the Russian border. Oh, he must be have Russian connections, this type of thing. But his to the day he died, his most cherished day was the day that Ukraine got its independence.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And again, it's been so many years since then. That's again what Ukrainians and people are fighting for. Mm-hmm. That would be the happiest day of our current lives of Ukrainians. That's mm-hmm. awesome. What an inspiring story. Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah. And thank you for being here.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I always share that Ukrainian people are, they have such a sense of freedom and hope for democracy and a better life that it's so inspiring. And a lot of Ukrainians are so surprised by this because why does an American care so much about Ukraine? And they don't understand what the inspiration they are to the world.
Because I think it's very similar also what America is standing for mm-hmm. freedom, for ability to have anything you want in the life and to make that possible for yourself. So I think that's what Ukrainians is fighting for as well.
Yeah, my grandfather, one of my biggest inspirations, because when he came here with nothing, mm-hmm. he put himself through university and then started his own business, worked 90 hours a week and, was able to be middle class and coming from absolutely nothing to having, a family and a steady home.
That's incredible.
It's the American dream kind of thing.
And he has you doing very important, very helpful things now. That's very inspiring. He did a good job.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
That's awesome. But based on what you told me and what I know about you, you started volunteering long time ago.
Yeah.
And you've been doing it around the world and locally. So tell us more about, like, how did you decide to do it?
Yeah, I mean, I started, you know, my dad's a philanthropic-based financial planner, so he works a lot with charities. So, like, that's how I kind of first got involved. During when my grandfather passed away, I felt this extreme urge to come back to Ukraine and to be the first person to stop in my family since 1943 to come back here. And in 2019, I reached out with the Ukrainian lacrosse team and an organization called FCA, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which helps spread the Bible, but also sport, like through many different countries, Ukraine, Philippines.
That's beautiful.
I was able to raise money to come here in 2019, and I spent 10 days in Ukraine. And ever since then, it wasn't even just about obviously being in Ukraine. It was a very touching time for me. But being with the kids, helping them, like, learn lacrosse and how much just their enjoyment. After I graduated for my master's, I helped with an organization called Humanility in the Philippines, which I worked at a shelter for street children.
That's beautiful.
And I spent a month there. I can't say this was the easiest time of my life. A lot of power outages, had to shower with out of a bucket, like cold water, but eating rice for three meals a day. Not a little different for a diet, but it was, you know, like now and even then, like, it's just infectious and amazing on these, like, kids that are, they have such, you know, rough time, like, things that kids should never go through. Like, for the Philippines, for example, there was kids that were coming from human trafficking, from the streets where their, even instances where their parents, like, left them, like, just gave up on them at 10 years old, you know?
Wow.
And these kids always found a reason to smile, and they were just so happy for, you know, just to be alive and to enjoy life. And it kind of puts everything that I complain about into perspective. Like,
totally.
You know, we say first world problems, you know, kind of thing. You know, you always have issues, but if these kids can find a reason to smile every day, then, you know, what am I complaining about? Putting things into perspective. And ever since then, it's just been infectious. I always want to help out when
so
I can.
Do you think everybody should volunteer to some extent?
Oh, of course. One of the things I always think of, like, for universities, especially in America, that they should spend, they should have a requirement of, like, to spend a month
like
2 weeks mm-hmm. into a different country around the world.
Volunteering. Wow, that's a great idea.
Because it puts everything into perspective. You know, you put your life into perspective, you become more humble and more grateful for the things you have. And it also makes you have, like, a worldview, like, to understand that everything's, like, while America's not perfect, like, it's a very comfortable life. And I mean, you know, you've lived there for a couple of years, so you understand. But comparative to places that, you know, they're just figuring out where their next meal is coming from, or you know, these types of things, it's really rewarding. It's just education of the soul, I'll call it, you know.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
For me too, when I lived in US and I had very comfortable life, and when you see the world or you see that it can be different mm-hmm. elsewhere, then it gives you this willing to help other people because mm-hmm. you have a great life and, like, you want other people to have a mm-hmm. great life. So I think that's the beauty of United States, that they give you this power of optimistic and you want to help other people. And I think that's why US is helping Ukraine those days as mm-hmm. that much, because they mm-hmm. want to help out. They believe in the values we're fighting for right now, which is freedom and a better life and all this kind of stuff. So again, thank you personally and United States, of course, and your country for all the help.
Yeah.
I don't know. We probably wouldn't be sitting here in Lviv right now if it wasn't for this help, right?
Yeah. Very, very discussed topic in the United States. But it's they have to understand, like, even like Zelensky and all of them, like, I mean, he has like super, you know, majority of the house and everything. And he wants to set the standard of democracy. I mean, he could do the same thing like they're doing in Hungary or, you know, like Vladimir Putin suddenly a president. But, you know, he wants to set the standard of democracy where it's voted by the people, that not person has too much power. And, you know, Ukraine is a very young nation in a way, but it'll grow.
You mentioned that there's a lot of different opinions and conversation and discussions over Ukraine in the United States.
Yeah.
But don't you think those people will think differently if they actually would come to Ukraine?
Of course.
That's what I always think.
Of course.
Because it's far away. You can't relate as much because you live your own life. But when you see it, when you see the destruction, when you see how it influences every single person here, even me, like for me, I was like, I'm American-Ukrainian, and like I work still, have my business in US, but I'm currently in Ukraine physically, and it influences me so much. Like I worry so much about things. I hear sirens all the time. So when you're here, you actually feel like that this is not okay. This should not be happening. So I think if those some people who don't agree with helping Ukraine actually experiences what people experience here, even in Lviv, which is far from front lines, I don't even know, like it's probably terrible, closer, but I think that would change their mind.
And I think they have to understand the values of Ukraine, and they also have to understand Ukraine is a young nation and it will be growing.
And that is true too.
It has, like, I always think that, you know, Ukraine during, you know, Zelensky's kind of like the first to kind of start getting away from this Russian connection, and to kind of be, it's not as controlled by outside money. That I know the corruption is like a lot of people discuss about, but any country that's starting off has this experience of corruption, of course.
I think so too.
And it just takes
time. And then you lobby in some corruption.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Not saying the US, like US, we're not corrupt at all. You know,
but we really have lobbying.
We have regulated corruption, right?
Yeah,
lobbying, that's what they call it. Mega donors,
But there is still a lot of work needs to be done in Ukraine that we are here already to do.
Mm-hmm.
We are ready here to do it and improve it. So we are thankful for our partners and, of course, volunteers. So I wonder, I have a question for you. It's like, how was your volunteering experience in Ukraine? What have you noticed? What was like good memories, something good you noticed, and some like maybe sad things you noticed? Tell me more about emotions.
Yeah, so... You know, I've been here for almost 2 months now. So, you know, the kind of background to this for everybody listening is that I quit my job, and I kind of saw this as an opportunity to spend this time. I'm still looking for jobs while I'm online, but, you know, it's going to be it's all online anyway. So I was taking this opportunity to come help because a lot of my teammates, for example, for the Ukrainian lacrosse national team are fighting and they're doing all these things. And I just want to contribute. And kind of the good things I've seen and the amazing things is just how, like we talked before, like on how people are just living day by day and they're happy to enjoy the day. And even in, I went to Kyiv. I had a chance to go visit Kyiv this past week. And, you know, everything, people are still living day to day. They're still trying to get through. And, this is inspiring. You know, there's a lot of reasons to give up. There's a lot of reasons to not go forward. There's a lot of reasons of people, you know, hey, you should leave Ukraine. Ukraine's not safe. All those, you know, these kinds of things, these kinds of ideals. You know, these people can keep going, they keep pushing forward. They keep spurring the economy to keep going. So these types of things are, you know, it's beautiful. And one, I guess, sad thing, you know, seeing the, okay, well, one story, actually, this comes to mind. When I was with serving pizza to the IDPs, was that, you know, some of the living conditions that they're in. I mean, it's so tough. We try to give a family some frozen pizzas that they could take extra. And they're like, we only have one stovetop. You know, this is all they have to cook food. And they're a family of five. And it's you know, not great. You know, this is just the effects of war. I mean, these people are from the Far East. And But again, they're still trying to push every day. There, you know, it was a group of like 3 or 4 kids that were part of this family that, you know, they were sad about it, but, you know, they're still going to continue to push and, you know, that hopefully one day that they can get back to their home and rebuild and to flourish again, you know, to be.
I think it's really inspiring to see that. Yeah. Yes, because compared to like all the problems we have in our lives when we live in US, right? We're like, mm-hmm. What is the problems we have? I don't know.
High rent.
High rent all the time, something like
yeah,
that.
So
you
like
didn't get a bonus or whatever it is. Yeah. You're late somewhere, but it's like people like having like really big issues and they're still keeping up and they're still staying positive and believing in a bright future ahead of them. But I think also it's because of people like you, because like, for example, now in Lviv, you walk around and you see so many like English language and you see foreigners. Yeah. And for us, for Ukrainians, it gives us hope. First of all, that people didn't forget about us. And second of all, is that everything going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And maybe that family that you saw, because of you, they were like, okay, he's an American person, that he cares, we'll be okay. So thank you. I think this means a lot to us, even your presence here.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the message is to Ukraine, just keep going. Like, there's going to be more and more. So I think even the longer we go, the longer they push. I mean, I know Russia is already very demoralized by this and financially as well. There's, you know, they're feeling the tariffs and types of things that we have against them. And I think I pray every day that this war ends very soon. And I think what Ukraine is doing is very inspiring. I mean, nobody would in all the military people would think that Ukraine would have been able to even fend off Russia during the first couple of days of invasion, even before like U.S. support, right?
I think they didn't realize who Ukrainians are.
Yeah.
We're very like... We're not following anybody rules. Mm-hmm. We're like very pro democracy and freedom. So I think what Russians underestimated is just the nations, the way the nation are. Like that's the thing. It's like we're not Russians that will be following somebody's, even president's rule and not doing anything.
Yeah.
We had so many like Maidan. We would go to the square. We would do against things. So Ukrainians, you can't. Yeah, you can't really control that nation. It's very, like, since all our history, we always were we were under different countries all the time, pretty much, but we always wanted to have a freedom, and we always were fighting against all these nations that were coming our way.
Yeah.
So I think that's an underestimation.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard so many older people, especially Western Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... Every single person. Maybe there is some very, very small support on Eastern Ukraine, very small. But in Western Ukraine, I mean, if they come this way, it would be just very bad for them.
Yeah.
Because people here are very against anything Russian.
Yeah.
But without American support, without support of other countries, of course, we would not be where we are right now. That would be not possible. Yeah. So that's a big deal.
But even, as I said, like, even Ukraine being able to defend it off, before the aid even came, you know, before this Western aid even came, that it was amazing. You know, the crazy part was that I stayed in Irpin.
You did?
Yes, when I was here last.
So it's like a couple kilometers from Kyiv.
Yeah.
And they got to Irpin.
Correct. So the buildings, in the morning I'd run, like do a run around the city, and many of the buildings, it was very surreal. So many of the buildings that are
Jared,
there.
Jared, I'm worried about you right now as I'm listening.
Yeah, it's very surreal that because the buildings that I was running around, they were all, you know, this is where a lot of the tanks were stopped. So Irpin was like kind of
half
a big,
half,
yeah, it was a big battleground for, this is where they got to. So, but it's crazy that the, you know, a lot of the buildings were destroyed.
Yeah, because
destroyed,
you know, the place. I think the craziest is by actually, you know, the place and now it looks different because of all these things. So for you, it really affects you personally this way compared to just watching on news, some photo of something you've never been before.
Yeah.
That's why. So,
but, you know, I'll say this too about the volunteering. Get back to the volunteering, but the effects on volunteering, I even say this selfishly, is that it's always good for the soul. They say psychologically, like in psychology, the happiest you are is when you're helping others.
I agree with you. And I think that's really good.
So if you want to even think of it as a selfish way, that it'll bring you happiness. Doing stuff for others is what being a human is all about. The compassion.
So do you think you're happy right now?
Of course.
By doing
course.
What you do.
Yes.
Awesome.
I mean, outside of the, 8 hours a day, sometimes you get the power outages,
And the air raid sirens
and
stuff.
The air raid sirens. But, Lviv is the most relatively safest city in Ukraine. So, it doesn't bother me too much, and if people can live day by day, even in Kharkiv, the way in the
so
east.
Many people do that.
Who am I to really, complain about this? And they obviously have much more, difficult, time, and they have to get into shelters. And this in Lviv, it's less of a threat, but it's amazing. I can't. It's amazing always to see that human compassion and human generosity to help others. I think Make It Possible is so important because I think I 100% believe after the war that there will be a lot more foreign investment into Ukraine, especially the farms. And then you were talking about some of the cities, I would buy a property in Odessa right now because I don't think this will be cheaper after the war, anymore.
True.
Yeah, because
yeah, good point.
Because it'll once it's safe and the borders are secure, and potentially if NATO or the EU, Ukraine joins the EU, or when it joins the EU, this will just spur investment and people to come in and teaching the English language, because all these companies are starting to become almost English standard. I mean, I have a friend that works in Germany, and they have to write all their emails in English because they want a standard across the whole company. So it's kind of becoming the international language, and it's so important. I told even the kids this last week when I was running a camp for lacrosse in Kyiv. I was telling all the kids on how important it is for them to learn English, because it'll just increase your opportunities, in life, for jobs and these types of things, especially with foreign, foreign direct investment going to come in. I think it's going to be so important for their personal development and personal growth, and it'll be amazing in a couple of years when you see somebody that you taught English come back and they're like,
I like that.
I have this job and I would never gotten it if you didn't
That's
help
awesome.
Me learn English.
That's a good point.
And you'll find, I'm sure now, because you just started the charity, it's like you're kind of getting through the bumps and roads and kind of organizing. But in a couple of years, it's going to start rewarding. For example, when I volunteered in the Philippines, they had those kids since, probably seven, 8 years. And now they're sending their first ones off to college.
That's awesome.
And the kids that they probably either, be dead or they would. It's a reality. But they'd be on the streets. Some of them were picking garbage. And now they have an opportunity to send them to college and university. And same thing with you. I'm sure some of you would be like, I would never had a chance to go either. Some of them would probably have a chance to study in the U.S. They can't study in the U.S. unless they don't know English. They do all those interviews in English. So they have to have some proficiency in English.
That's
so. And I'm sure in a couple of years, it's going to be so rewarding. And
I believe so, too. Yeah. For now, when you do something related to nonprofit, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to measure the result, because when you work in businesses, you see result is by profit or
sales,
other things.
Yeah.
And here, it's for me, it's always really hard. I was like, do we do it right? Is it even helping anybody? Because it's hard. It might take years, and then somebody gets back to you,
mm-hmm.
and then you understand. But for me, because I've been doing it for 2.5 years,
yeah.
it's enough period to see the difference in progress in kids.
Mm-hmm.
So some older kids were with me for 2.5 years, and I see a difference. I see the difference in their happiness level and ability to do something forward. Mm-hmm. And of course, English level for sure. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good. And for me also, another thing, so I was really inspired by Singapore, the way they did it. So like 50 years ago, it was like nothing there. No investment,
yes, of
nothing.
Course, yeah.
And then eventually the government came in and they changed the politics. Their politics was, so part of their politics, what they did, they were, they did, they made English mandatory, and probably they did it like the only one, mm-hmm. only language they all spoke.
English and Mandarin.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's like everybody, like I was in Singapore last year and everybody speaks perfect English.
It's just crazy.
And it's crazy. Yes. And even they speak to their kids.
Yes.
Like they speak, like you yeah. can see somebody from Singapore yeah. and they speak in their household mm-hmm. in English because that's the politics they had. And so what government knew that when investment comes, we need to make sure we have people that are ready to do the job.
Yeah.
So they did like a big emphasis on English and also education, of course,
yeah.
and it helps them. So for me, I believe that will also help yeah. Ukraine.
Yeah.
And we're doing a smaller part, but who knows? Sometimes you think it's smaller, but yeah. it's actually can impact so many people because this each kid will impact somebody else as well. So actually, the difference we're making yeah. might be much bigger than we think it is.
Yeah, some of the Ukrainians I talked to, they said they have English in school, but they said it's not very, like, it needs to
it's
be all
right.
improved.
It's
yeah,
all
like,
right.
It needs to improve.
Yeah. I used to have tutors all the time, but not everybody has ability to have tutors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you actually can learn and speak
Correct,
and better,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah, it was only the people who had tutors were the ones who were mm-hmm. kind of able to speak English
that's
to
true.
Me. And then the ones who just did it in class, they said it's like...
yeah, it's all right,
it
and then you
right.
forget
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
So to end our interview, I want to ask you the last question.
Okay.
Do you think it's worth coming to Ukraine to volunteer? Would you recommend it to anybody?
Yes, I mean, of course. And I think if not in Ukraine, if you don't feel as like comfortable, go to Poland. Like there's so many organizations as well in Poland
Makes
to
sense.
Do so. If you want to feel... Like if you don't want to hear the air sirens, but even Lviv is I mean, I felt very safe. I mean, I feel safe than some of the U.S. cities I've been to.
I hear you.
So, Lviv is a beautiful city and amazing people, and everybody has been super welcoming and super supportive, and I know the banks, like if you need to withdraw money, if you say you're a volunteer, they'll waive all the fees and
oh, wow.
yeah.
That's awesome.
So there's a lot of support to help the volunteers and organizations, and I think getting involved is always rewarding. I mean, I always say like, yes, your career, like you being a CPA or, you know, I do international business. Like this is always, you know, a great part of your story, but the things you'll talk or be most proud about.
Totally.
For me, like personally, my trip to Philippines, I will say this story forever.
Yes.
And it was
yes.
only a month of my life. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, 1 month. And it's something I will cherish till
yes.
I pass.
100%.
And same thing with this trip. You know, it's something I will always say, you know, I took this opportunity to do so. And I always say this, you know, just do it. Don't overthink it. Because, like, a lot of people get nervous. I have, like, a friend who, you know, he has a lot of money saved up. He has, like, all these things. He's like, oh, I'm like, he's been talking about a trip. He's like, I almost convinced him to come to Ukraine, but he's like hesitant. Oh, like I have some work to do, blah, 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 blah. And he has like, I don't know, he was over like 2 months of 6 days. Like, I'm like, just spend 2 weeks. Like, let's just do it. Like, it will find it the most rewarding experience. And I think there's something to travel when you're not only just doing it for vacation.
Totally.
And like here, I have a chance to not only help others, but to see the beautiful city of Lviv and really experience it. Remember, like last time I was only out east, so I get to experience, like, you know, this is a lot more European style kind of city, smaller city, but beautiful with trees and beautiful walkways and these types of things in nature. And so I always say to people is just take the chance, because things that you have, like work and these types of things, will always be there. They will always be there. You will always have work when you get back. And, you know, maybe I'm speaking from a U.S. experience, but, like, I'm sure it's even for most European countries. but anyone, it's always rewarding, and you will always, and you're, when you're writing your story of your life, you will always write a good portion of it about the, your experiences volunteering and overseas and this. I mean, yes, vacation is nice, but the I don't know, this impact is, it's just very rewarding. And I think it just adds just another layer of value and another layer of fulfillment to, you know, what we're doing and what you're doing here. And as a international volunteer, just to experience different people and different cultures and kind of realize that people aren't too different. You know, people just want to be happy. People just want to be safe. People just, you know, want food on their plate, and, you know, they just want to enjoy life, you know, just find a reason to smile. And I think that's, you know, me, I've traveled many different places around, from Dubai to all over Europe, and many different cultures. And you just kind of realize that everybody just wants to enjoy life and spend time in the moment. And one of the ways that I think to fulfill life is to help others. And that's one of my personal goals, is to help as many people as I can for the better. So this is something that drives me as a person. So thank you. I mean, I'll say this, as a volunteer, you know, this can, these stuff can't happen without organizations like yours, without you taking your time and you, like a risk, right? Like setting up an NGO, spending a lot of time setting up charity. It takes time, and it's not like instantly rewarding, you know, as you're kind of, you know, what, you're 2 years into this now. Like, as you know, it took time to kind of get things organized, and you're starting to build up, and, you know, it just, over time, it'll get better and better and easier, you know, but it, without people like you, that my opportunity to come here and volunteer is impossible.
Thank
and
you, Jared.
Your
yeah.
compassion,
I think
it's amazing.
It's starting an NGO is not a problem. And I'll record another podcast on this. It's not that hard as you think.
Yeah.
But actually, like, making that shift of mind that you can do go somewhere and do something for people,
yeah.
like you explain, it's not easy. It's
yeah.
just like you have to be in a really good place in life. I feel like you have to satisfy all other things.
Yes, exactly.
Right? You
yeah.
have to be, like, ready to give back.
Yeah.
And what you just mentioned, it's beyond being inspirational. So
yeah.
if you're still not sure if you want to volunteer or not, I think Jared would convince anybody. I was listening to you, and I was like, I want to volunteer, even if I already do
already
that.
Yeah.
But I was like, I would go whatever he tells me to go.
yeah.
So thank you so much, Jared,
yeah.
personally. You're a big deal. And what you're doing here is a big deal for Ukrainian people. Even just seeing you here, it gives us a hope that everything is going to be okay and people care about us. So thank you so
yes,
much.
Yes, of course.
Appreciate
and,
it.
Yeah, they should know that we all care.
Thank you.
We all care.
We do feel that,
yeah.
and especially because you're here. Thank you so much.
All right, thank
I'll
you.
I'll see you next year.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. I hope you enjoyed our amazing volunteer story as much as I did. I truly hope it inspires you to volunteer in Ukraine. We need as much help as we can get, and every effort counts. Check out our Instagram, Make It Possible Ukraine, and our website, makeitpossibleua.org, for information on our current and future programs. If you can, please support our future initiatives financially by donating on our website. Your contribution will help us continue to bring smiles to more kids in Ukraine. Thank you so much, and see you in the next episode.